It's time to talk politics with Labour leader Andrew Little.
Yes, that's right. We are now joined by leader of the Labour Party, Andrew Little. Kia ora, Andrew. How's it going?
Kia ora. Oh, very well, thank you.
Cool. That's good to hear. So, Todd Barclay has been causing a bit of trouble. For those that don't know, Barclay was a National MP for Clutha Southland, and 2 days ago, a newsroom investigation by Melanie Reed revealed that he had conducted secret recordings of an employee that then resulted in a secret payment from former PM John Key's leader's budget to make the issue go away. Where to start? Where do you kind of stand on this whole issue, Andrew?
Well, we know a lot of the issues around all that have been floating around for a while. There's been other media reports about the fact there was a police investigation into the recordings of the staff member. Originally, Todd Barclay said he would cooperate. Then when he was asked to be interviewed by the police, he refused to do so. I think what is, you know, I guess struck everybody is the revelations this week about what Bill English knew. He had told people in the Clutha Southland branch that Todd Barclay had told them there were recordings, but Todd Barclay had always denied that there were recordings. So it was that sort of stuff that I think made it untenable for Todd Barclay to remain as an MP. He just frankly shattered any trust or confidence anybody could have in him. But I think the real question now is, the Prime Minister, Bill English, knew of this stuff some time ago. When Todd Barclay was publicly saying there were no recordings, he'd done nothing wrong, the Prime Minister seemed to have done nothing about that, and yet he ought to have put him aside and said, you cannot say that, you know there were recordings. And actually what he also should have done is told him to cooperate with the police investigation. The police ended up shutting down their investigation because they said they didn't have enough to go on, and they wouldn't unless they could interview Todd Barclay.
Obviously, the kind of timeline of the way these things have panned out have been a little bit confusing, to say the least. There's been some mixed messages with, obviously, like you said, Bill English first saying he couldn't recall who told him about the secret recordings, and then a few hours later admitting that he did, in fact, know. What do you make of the PM's response to this in terms of the mixed messages?
Yeah, I think that's the thing, too. I mean, you know, MPs don't routinely get interviewed by the police. It's a very unusual thing to happen. So Bill English was asked to give a statement to the police. He went down to the electorate, to Dipton, in fact, and met with a police officer and gave a statement. And there was really only one main thing he said in that statement, and that is that Todd Barclay told him that he had made recordings. When he was asked this week, his first reaction was to say he couldn't recall. He couldn't recall who told him there were recordings, and yet it was Todd Barclay. And then within 2-3 hours, he released his police statement that confirmed that that is what he told the police. He also told some of the local party officials. And his first reaction being to sort of try and obfuscate and obstruct, I think, reflected very poorly on him.
Yeah, and according to the newsroom's investigation, National Party board members and the Parliamentary Service also knew about these recordings. Now, do you think Police Minister Paula Bennett has been adequate in responding to this debacle?
In fairness, she has to be careful. I mean, there is that separation between the political kind of office of the Police Minister and the police themselves. I think we are entitled to look at the police investigation. In my view, knowing what we all know now, I'm still curious to know why the police felt they couldn't take it further. I mean, if they were interviewing Todd Barclay because they thought he might have done something wrong, Todd Barclay was always, even if he had turned up to be interviewed by the police, entitled to, maintain a silence and all that sort of stuff.
Is there a sort of failure on the police's part then, in the sense that they closed the case in 2016 after being unable to get the statement from Barclay, and then, Bill English admitted to Barclay coming to him and saying he made the recordings in the electoral office? Do you think there are failings on the police part?
Yeah, I'm just curious to know why they felt they didn't have enough evidence to proceed. I mean, the last remaining element, I guess, they were trying to confirm is whether or not there was intent or deliberateness on the part of Todd Barclay. But no one ever comes out and said, yep, that happened and I intended to do it. You only ever infer intention. And I would have thought there's enough there to go on, in the sense that Todd Barclay confirmed to various people he had made the recordings. And there's only one reason you would, and I was all tied up in the employment situation, which was all about the breakdown in the relationship between him and the staff member. So I would have thought there was enough to go on. I just have a question mark about why that would have happened.
And you've mentioned, quote, total failure of leadership on English's part. And it's just come in that 80% of voters on the Radio Live poll think Bill English should resign over this Todd Barclay scandal. But I'm wondering if this will significantly actually impact National's campaign in the grand scheme of things, because in 2014 we obviously had Dirty Politics come out in the lead up to the election, and National downplayed it, and it didn't really amount to much in terms of affecting voters. So is this just a repeat of that?
Well, I think Dirty Politics was, you know, it was at the beginning of August. It was published. It was a set of allegations. It was, and you know, you only had to. John Key only had to deny it, and of course he did, and then everybody's thinking, well, where does the truth lie? This isn't like that. The truth is very clear. We know what Bill English knew and when he knew it, and we know that he let things go for over a year before the truth then became public. It will affect his credibility. It can't help but do that. And the fact that his first reaction on Tuesday morning when questions were put to him is to prevaricate and sort of, oh no, I can't recall. He can't recall something that he gave a statement to the police about, that he told various other people about. That I think is pretty clear, and that can't do anything other than affect his credibility.
Right, but Dirty Politics should have affected his John Key's credibility then, and it didn't. Now they're in government, so what? Who's to say that the same thing won't happen now with this?
Yeah, look, I mean, you know, who can guarantee what the reaction is going to be? I think the thing about Dirty Politics is that various things about that weren't corroborated or vindicated until after the election. You know, you had the Inspector General's report into what was going on in the Prime Minister's office, and then it turned out that, you know, there was sharing of highly confidential information to various National Party-aligned people who weren't entitled to have it, all those sorts of things. That confirmed what had happened, but it was way after the election. So I think at the time of the election, people were just a little bit confused about where the truth actually lay. I mean, in this case, it's pretty clear what the truth is. And this is not an issue that's sort of come out of the middle of nowhere. It's been hovering around for the best part of 18 months. But all that's happened is we now have a much, much clearer picture of what the truth is.
Now, I've got a quote from you here touching on this, saying, without being patronising, there are always questions of maturity when you're an MP at that sort of age. Now, it sounds like you're attributing age to Barclay's failures here. Do you stand by this statement?
Yeah, I think it's taken somewhat out of context. The reality is he's a young guy. His employment relationship seems to break down. I think it reflects on his maturity. I just do. It doesn't excuse it, and he shouldn't be let off the hook because of it. It explains it, and I think that's just a natural human thing. Someone at the age of 24 or 25 put in charge of a bunch of staff who are older than him, it's not an unusual thing, not a good thing. The fact that the relationships break down in those circumstances is a reflection on his maturity.
But in terms of the issue, it's like he secretly taped someone, he's gotten the Prime Minister to get involved in a cover-up with hush money, and you're saying that the crime here is that he's too young.
No, that is a ridiculous thing to say and a ridiculous conclusion to draw from my comment. What I've said is, it reflects on the fact that the relationships broke down in the way they did, reflects on his maturity. That's all. It doesn't excuse it. It doesn't excuse what he's done at all. If anybody draws that, because I know there was a bit of a fuss on Twitter. I mean, unfortunately, you do get blockheads on Twitter. People don't really know what they're talking about. I've had a professional lifetime dealing with employment issues. I've seen things break down. I understand, you know, human failings and human foibles. I've seen it. And it is not a proper thing to comment that a person at the age of 24 who has a series of professional relationship breakdowns may not have the maturity to conduct those relationships.
Right, but this kind of brings up a question of, you know, is this how you feel about your own youth MPs then?
That is another ridiculous question. A comment about Todd Barclay is not a comment about every 24-year-old or 25-year-old who is in charge of people.
But you're relating age to maturity here. I'm not sure if
you are.
Direct.
I haven't. No, you are. I've talked about maturity, you know, and you can, you know, and that other people will think all sorts of weird and wonderful things. It is not out of the realms of possibility that somebody that age, dealing with staff and being responsible for staff, is not mature enough to conduct those sorts of relationships.
Right.
No one is going to tell me that every 24-year-old and every 25-year-old is capable of, you know, is mature enough to have the kind of relationships that you need to function in that sort of environment. Anybody who did suggest that, of course, is completely off the planet. That doesn't mean that because he doesn't have the maturity, I am saying that every young person at that age or every young at peak can't conduct those relationships. That is a bizarre conclusion to draw.
Right. And just finally, Andrew, there's stuff come out in the media today about foreign students who volunteered for Labour and have been housed in subpar living conditions. Would you care to comment on this?
Yeah, I mean, I become aware of that specific issue about their complaints about their living conditions they're in just recently. The party was set up this kind of volunteer thing for overseas students. It's in the political kind of area. It's like, you know, young New Zealanders going to work for the Democrats or the Republicans or the Liberal Party or the Australian Labor Party. Every now and again, we get international students coming over helping out in campaigns. And I think the party agreed to it. I think in the end what happened is somebody who was given the job of organising has got over-enthusiastic, got a lot of people here, and things haven't worked out. The party advised me about it. I said there's only one thing that matters. It's the well-being of those young people. And the party has stepped in to take over and take control of it and manage it and sort things out. And that's what they're in the process of doing.
Andrew, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, you have a lovely day. Bye.
You've been listening to Andrew Little from the Labour Party. The Wire.